You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
Today in Argentina, there's an inspiring movement of workers taking back and managing their own enterprises. This movement is called the Recuperation Movement. Most of the recuperated enterprises were abandoned or closed by their former owners in the wake of Argentina's 2001 financial crisis. Today, these workers run factories are demonstrating how business can be run better, even without a boss or owner. Marie Trigona forms part of Grupo Alavio, a direct action and video collective. She's also a frequent contributor to ZNet and Agora TV. Marie joins us this morning from her home in Argentina to discuss the recuperation movement and their examples and the challenges they face. Hello, Marie.
Hi, Karen.
The recuperation movement began in 2000, before the 2001 financial crisis. How did the financial movement affect the movement to take back enterprises?
In many of the cases, the workers organized when the boss abandoned or closed down the enterprise. The workers, you know, basically made the decision out of necessity, not necessarily out of an ideology or a previous organizing experience. In the 2001 financial crisis, unemployment hit record levels of 20%, and 40% of the population basically unable to find adequate employment. So, basically, with this, you know, with this, you know, opportunity or lack of opportunity, you know, it's either join the masses of unemployed or you know, occupy the workplace to defend their jobs. So basically, you know, the financial crisis affected the decision because of the growing unemployment and growing poverty. Also, poverty levels reached over 50% of the population were living in poverty during 2001. And then, of course, the financial policies that led up to the financial crisis of 2001, you know, accelerating neoliberal policies, privatizing much of state industry, providing state supported subsidies and credits for these bosses and owners who later abandoned their businesses, and you know, left these workers, you know, out to dry.
And about how many recuperate enterprises are there now?
Currently in Argentina, there are some 180 recuperated enterprises up and running, employing some 10,000 workers here in Argentina. The movement is very diverse. There's recuperated enterprises that have taken, you know, forms of traditional cooperatives, meaning a top-down way of organizing, and there have been, you know, very political experiences where the workers have recuperated the enterprise, defended their jobs, and they're reinventing social relations in the workplaces. So it's a very diverse movement. Each of the workplaces have, you know, very diverse ways of organizing. Each have a particular legal standing. Many have no legality whatsoever. So it's a very diverse. It's not necessarily a homogenous movement of the 180 recuperated enterprises.
Could you give us an example of one of the recuperated enterprises?
Currently, I've been working most closely with the Bowen Hotel, which is a 20-story hotel here in the very center of Buenos Aires. This hotel was recuperated in 2003. It was closed down by the former owner in 2001. In the very midst of the climax of the financial crisis, and about 50 workers were working at the enterprise, at the business at the time in 2001, and in March 2003, some 30 workers from the hotel decided to occupy the hotel. At this point in 2003, the hotel had been completely ransacked, completely abandoned, you know, in terrible conditions, and the workers slowly began to clean up the hotel, refurbish many of the installations, and providing renting out different services in the hotel. It has a conference center, as a theater, you know, the hotel rooms, front cafe. But this is a good example of it's been symbolic for many ways for the working class. And the hotel was constructed in 1978 in the height of the military dictatorship, and it was constructed with state funds and state loans at that time. And since the 1978 construction of the Bowen Hotel, the hotel has been the emblematic symbol of the bourgeoisie, not only during the dictatorship, but during the 90s, during the administration of the neoliberal Carlos Menem, who was the neoliberal president during the 90s, who would oftentimes hold different acts in the hotel, and now, which was catered to the bourgeoisie, is now catering to the working class. Many of us, you know, regularly hold meetings or cultural events, so it's become an important political center. That's one of the Recuperate enterprises that's been most active politically. And another good example, which is the largest Recuperate enterprise in Argentina, is Zenon, which is a ceramic factory. They produce ceramic tile in the province of Neuquén, which is about 1,500 kilometers south of Buenos Aires. It's in the Patagonia. Currently, that factory, it's employing some 470 workers. It was occupied in 2001 after Luis Zenon, the former owner, closed down the factory, and that factory also was constructed with government subsidies from the province and national government, with loans, including the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, funds from that organization. They recuperated the enterprise in 2001 with a long conflict. They had camped out in front of the factory for several months. And finally, what happened is that the judge ordered in favor of the workers, and they were able to sell the stock that was left over inside the plant to pay back salaries that the owner owed the workers. And this is also the case in Bowen, too, that the owner not only shut down the enterprise, but also shut it down, owing the workers back salaries, many times years of salaries and end-of-the-year bonuses, vacation time, etc. And the Zenon factory started with 150 workers, and so they've created well over 200 jobs. So it's definitely been one of the most successful cases of the Recuperate enterprise, and it's also the largest, one of the largest ceramics factories in Latin America.
What kind of production challenges does Zenon face as a worker self-managed enterprise?
Well, they've been functioning for about a little over four years now. For 3 years, the Zenon workers were functioning without any legality whatsoever. They were functioning with illegal status. That changed in October of 2005, when they won a federal court recognized the FAT Sin Pat, which is Fabrica Sin Patron, a factory without a boss, recognized FAT Sin Pat as a legal entity, as a worker cooperative. Since they won the cooperative status, they've been able to basically do things legally. They've been able to invoice all sales and all what they purchase, what they're selling. They've been able to get rid of the middleman, and so the cooperative status has helped the Fat Sin Pat, the Zenon factory, in many ways. Currently, that status, it's only a 1 year expropriation or a 1 year permit, and that permit is soon to run out here in October. But the factory went from producing 15,000 square meters per month when it was first occupied in 2002, and it hit, last month they hit a record for the factory production under worker control, which is they produced over 400,000 square meters in June.
And the workers there are currently demanding national expropriation under worker control. And is this related to the legal dispute in 2005?
This, what their long-term demand has been, for, you know, since the factory takeover, the definitive expropriation of the plant. You know, of course, if they're offered, you know, an extension of the legality of the cooperative status, they'll probably take it as a short-term solution. But they're demanding a long-term solution, and their argument has been that, you know, in 4 years we've done what no industry in the area has done, which has been to create over 200 job posts. They regularly support community programs. They're donating ceramics. So they're doing what no employer in the region or nationally has been able to do since the 2001 crisis. And obviously a lot of these industries are supposedly recovered, and salaries are still extremely low throughout Argentina. Unemployment is still really high here, with over 10% unemployment. And, you know, of course they've done this. You know, what challenges have they had in production? What challenges? They've not only had to fight this legal battle, but they've also had to confront market challenges. And they've done this without any type of financial support from the government or any type of low-interest loans from any bank, which, you know, of course the capitalist businessmen, you know, have you know, at their disposal.
We have a couple of short audio clips that we'd like to get to. And so the first one we're going to play is a television commercial produced by workers at Zenon. So let's listen to that now.
Esta fábrica la construimos los trabajadores y las trabajadoras. La defendimos entre todos y todas.
La pusimos nuevamente a producir.
Generamos más de 250 puestos de trabajo.
Hoy está al servicio de la comunidad.
Zenon es del pueblo. Acompáñenos.
Martes 4 de julio, a las 10 horas, todos al monumento, por la expropiación definitiva de la fábrica. Zenon es del pueblo. Apoya a los obreros.
And so what was that we were listening to?
The workers organized a very large rally on July 4th, and to invite the community to participate in the march, they put together this commercial. And what the workers are saying, they're all different women who work at the plant. They're saying the workers built this factory. All of us defend the factory. We've put the plant back into production. We've created more than 250 jobs. Today the factory is at the service of the community. Zenon belongs to the people. Join us. So this is just a way to invite the community to this rally, which did have repercussion in the Neuquén province. This is an interesting type of rally because the workers decided not only to, you know, do the traditional march, but also they brought out different types of machinery that, you know, from the factory. They brought ceramics to show this community what the Zenon workers are producing, and they also invited truck drivers, delivery car drivers who are, you know, kind of secondary and jobs that have been created by the Zenon workers to join the march. So it was this very large caravan with different machinery from the plant, ceramics from the plant, and then also the truck drivers and taxi drivers who also you know, have benefited from the factory takeover. And they presented a legal proposal backed by 17,000 signatures requesting the definitive expropriation of the factory. And these are obviously the signatures that the workers gathered in a very short amount of time of community members who support the workers' demands.
And we have a short piece of audio from that march, which we'll just play now. And so is there anything people in Canada can do to help in the struggle of the recuperation movement?
I would certainly say that, you know, it's certainly paying attention to what the workers have accomplished. I think it's a wonderful example for workers all around the world that, you know, that workers don't need a boss or an owner to, you know, successfully run a factory. So obviously, you know, a type of moral encouragement. I think, you know, it's a give and take that workers in Canada could certainly, you know, benefit from this example. And then also in the next coming weeks, months, the workers at Zanon are going to be launching a national and international campaign for the definitive expropriation, and so surely they'll be sending out different types of petitions and requests for solidarity. So in the next weeks we'll have news of concrete ways that folks in Canada could help the Zanon workers.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with me today, Marie.
And thank you, Karen, for inviting me.
I've been speaking with Marie Trigona. Marie forms part of Grupo Alavio, a direct action and video collective. The group has produced a number of documentaries about Zanon, and for more information, you can visit www.agoratv.org.